All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 28a, security and prosperity. You know, this chapter, Deuteronomy 28, is probably one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible, for it details the covenant blessings and curses. In fact, if you want to understand what's going on in the world today, and what's going to happen tomorrow? This chapter will tell you. Because prophecy is often determined by our actions, by the actions of nations, as well as individuals. And you're going to see what I mean when we begin reading this. But this chapter is so filled with prophecy. I would say even... Without understanding this chapter, you would not really completely understand the book of Revelation. For the book of Revelation is oftentimes a result of what this chapter tells us. In fact, this chapter tells us how America became the greatest superpower in the world. Yes, that's right. America is written about in God's Word. Yet you have scholar after scholar today, commentary after commentary, that fails to see this or to teach it. Come on. What kind of scholarship is that? Do you really think that God would leave out mentioning America when America became the greatest Christian nation to have ever existed upon the face of this earth? A nation that calls itself one nation under God? Do you really think that would just be a happenstance? Well, that's just something that we just, something insignificant that would not be mentioned in biblical prophecy? No way. America is foretold of, as well as the other Christian nations in Europe, Great Britain, Germany, Ireland, Scotland, and so forth. This book also tells us this chapter also tells us how the security and prosperity of a nation is directly affected. Let me repeat that. Directly affected by the morality of its citizens and of its leaders. You know, a lot of people think, well, if we want to have security and we want to have prosperity, we've got to have some really, really intelligent people put in place. We've got to have all these sophisticated economists to try to guide us in the right way. But you know what? We don't need that. God's law lays out some very simple rules to prosperity for a nation. Yes, there are economic laws in the Bible. We've read about some of them in this great book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to read about one of them today. But it doesn't take a genius to create prosperity in a nation. All it takes is following God's simple laws and disciplining ourselves within that. Anyways, this chapter also foretold of the time when we would have a leader, a non-Israelite, possibly even a half-Kenite, like Obama, to be our president. That's right. This chapter foretells of the time when the Israelite nations would have a stranger set up, a foreigner, a non-Israelite, as their head of state. A lot of people say, well, Obama's, he's half Israelite. I kind of doubt that. If you really look into it, it really appears to me that his mother was probably a Kenite, a son of Cain. So what you have there is a non-Israelite all the way around. Anyways, many of these prophecies, you don't want to miss any of this chapter. We're probably going to break it up into two or three studies. For, you know, a lot of people say, well, what's going to happen tomorrow? How do you know what's going to happen in prophecy? Well, you look at what the nation is doing, and then you look at this chapter, and you'll know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's that simple. But the fascinating thing about this chapter is it gives us specific details of what's going to happen. And It's fascinating. Anyways, before we begin, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word. We pray that you can open our eyes and our ears to your truth. In the name of Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, please turn with me, if you haven't already, to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, and it reads, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day." Now check that out. That's, you have a lot of big words there. You have if, you have listen diligently, and you have observe to do all of God's commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Do we want to be if we want to be the superpower, if we want to be blessed, all we have to do is listen to the voice of God, listen to his commandments, institute them into public policy, into our law, into the fabric of our nation's laws. In fact, many people are unaware of the fact that America's laws and its constitution was founded on the word of God. Our founders founded this nation upon the word of God. You know, I could sit here all day and give you quotes of our founders, but there are books on that you can read that will give you all those quotes of our founders that say, hey, this, the only way this constitution will work, or the only way that freedom will last among our people, is if its people remain a righteous people, a moral people, a people of the book, a people that studies God's word and puts it into action. Not just saying, oh, I believe and I'm saved and I don't pay attention to politics. I don't pay attention to the policies that govern the nation. I just want to go to heaven. That's not what it's all about, my friends. We were sent here to be a light and an example unto the world, to be a nation that's above all other nations, not to lord it over them, but to teach them the truth of God's law. That is our purpose. Not just to selfishly get ourselves into heaven, to be saved. That's part of it. That's part of it. But that's not our destiny. That's not our purpose. We were sent here to be the salt of the earth. In Matthew chapter 5. To be the salt of the earth. To be the light unto the world. And that's why our pilgrim forefathers came here. To specifically do that, to be that, to be a city upon a hill. In fact, they may, you know, a lot of people say, well, America's not in a covenant with God. Well, it isn't. Our very motto itself says, in God we trust. One nation under God. And if you look at all the symbolism in our great seal and so forth, you will see the symbols that represent a nation under God. A nation under God. And you have the Pilgrim's Document, the Mayflower Compact. One of the first official documents declaring that they came here for the express purpose of spreading the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, they made a covenant with God. The Mayflower Compact. Compact means covenant. They covenanted with God, asked for his protection, asked for his blessings. In return, they would spread forth the light of his gospel. They would be that people. Yes, the very first people that came to this nation. And then you have the Declaration of Independence, which is an appeal to heaven. That's what it is. It's a Declaration of Independence. Or the Declaration of Independence is simply a legal document appealing to Almighty God. That's entering into a covenant. That's asking God for his help. And in return, that they would live according to his principles. They would live according to, they would live up to the ideals of liberty and justice for all, under the rule of law, under the rule of righteousness. And on it goes. But that's what God says. He didn't say, hey, I want equality. I want everybody to be equal. I want you to join the United Nations and everybody should just share their wealth. No, he says, I want to bless you. As we're going to talk about here, I want to bless you above all other nations because I want to use you as an example for others to follow. And that's what we're going to read about here. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And this did happen. That's why you can read Deuteronomy 28. God did set America up on high above all nations of the earth. And it still is at this point, but it's coming down. It's coming down. But that's how you know that that's another reason or another proof that that the Bible does speak of America. For America did these things. Better so than probably any other nation in all of world history. I shouldn't even say probably. I think they have. Because they were blessed above all nations. We were. And other nations did, they used to look to us as an example of how to form their government and how to act. But now we're laughed at. Because we're so divided. And, we'll get into that part of it later on. But right now we're talking about the blessings. You know, God wants to bless his people. He wants us to be happy. He doesn't want to curse us. That's why he starts out first with the blessings. This applies to our daily life as well. Hey, if we want to live blessed and happy, then that doesn't just mean you're going to have stuff. It means you're going to have peace of mind and security of mind if you follow God's word. You obey his commandments. Not just saying, I believe and I'm saved and I'm going to get raptured. That's ridiculous. That's childish. Start doing something. Start laboring in the vineyard of Almighty God called this earth. And do something. Rather than being a spoiled little brat. That all they want to do is go to heaven. Come on. We got work to do. We're moving into the time of the great tribulation here coming up. And people are just worried about escaping. You're not going anywhere. Because God has work for his servants to do in this final generation. And it's not to escape. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed what? How are we going to be blessed? If we obey the voice of Almighty God. That gives us blessings. That gives us security. That gives us prosperity. Not socialism. Not some politician. Not some man. But the people obeying God. That's what I'm saying. Hey, it doesn't matter what political party's in office. If the people are not moral, if the people do not listen to God's word, the nation will never be blessed and will never be secure. Now a lot of our people want to give up their freedom for a sense of security. They think the government can protect them from all threats. They think we ought to allow the organizations like the NSA to spy on everything we do to make us safe. That's putting your trust in a false god. That's worshiping the state or the government rather than Almighty God. And it's also the same as Moloch worship. And for those of you who haven't read our latest prophecy blog, we've got a prophecy blog titled The False Gods of Safety and Security, I believe it is. And it lets us know that Moloch worship is alive and well today. But people don't worship statues anymore. People don't worship false gods. They don't. You'd be surprised to know that the worship of false gods is done today on a mass scale. It's just that people don't realize it. Hey, when you put your trust in a governmental system rather than in Almighty God, that's worshiping a false god. That's worshiping the government. You know what? I've said it before, but one of the central parts, of worship to a false god was sacrificing freedoms, sacrificing liberties for a sense of security and false promises of prosperity. You know, that people don't worship false gods just because. They think that false gods are going to give them something. The false gods are going to bless them with these things. But you know what? The false gods only try to imitate Almighty God, because you're going to find out in this chapter that is only through Almighty God and through obedience to His word. Not all this sacrifice. Yeah, God does demand sacrifice at times, but not the sacrifice that, you know, false gods. You can never appease a false god. The moment you start sacrificing to them, they will want more. They will take more and they will demand more. But Almighty God doesn't do that. His yoke, like Christ said in one place in the New Testament, my yoke is light. My burden's easy. But yet people want to choose the path of a false god. You know, I can't help but think of the quote by one of our founders that said that those who will not be ruled by, or those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. That's what's happening today. A lot said in that one verse. In fact, that one quote pretty much sums up the Bible. Those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. For, you know, Christianity plus the rule of law equals freedom. There is no other way to achieve freedom, and only a fool would talk about freedom without Christianity. And yet that seems to be what we do all the time here in America now. Oh, we can have freedom, we can spread freedom. No, you can't. Not without Christianity and the rule of law, those two things that everybody's trying to remove and change, fundamentally transform. Basically, God says you're going to be blessed everywhere if you follow my commandments. That's God's law. That's the Ten Commandments. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. You're blessed. The fruit of thy body is your children. You're going to be blessed with numerous, you know, a lot of people consider children to be a curse these days. Our president even said, I don't want my, in defense of abortion, I don't want my children to be cursed with a baby. What kind of leadership do we have? What kind of ungodly leadership do we have in the highest offices of this land? And yet, you know, many people who claim to be Christian vote for that vile wickedness. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. You're going to have everything. You're going to have numerous children. You're going to have numerous cattle, sheep. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to flood it. I'm going to flood it over upon you. That's what God wants to give us. You know, people say that God's word is harsh and it's so hard to follow. No, it isn't. It's the easy way. You know, I can't help but think of the scripture where Christ said, hey, follow the narrow way and it leads to paradise. In a sense, it is the narrow way. It does take discipline, but it really is the easy way. Because if you choose the way that seems easy now, that ends up being the hard way, a way of oppression, a way of bondage, and so forth. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. That the basket means your food. You're going to have plenty of food. You're going to have plenty of stock of everything in the stores. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Everything you do will be blessed, is what God says. Hey, and you individuals who follow God's word, you know that this is true. Yeah, sure, God will test us at times, just like he did Job. But there are other times when we've proven to him that we can be obedient unto his word, he will bless us in just about everything we do. Everything. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that shall rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. This is a qualification for national security. Didn't need an NSA to spy on us, or some other secret organization to comb through everything we talk about or do. No, it just takes obedience to God's word. He says, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and shall flee before thee seven ways. Think about that. That's how it's done. It doesn't take losing or sacrificing all of our freedoms to Moloch, to the god of government. It just takes obeying God's law. You know, and you have a lot of libertarians, and hey, there are some good Christian libertarians or Christians who claim to be libertarian. But a lot of people out there that say, well, we can have freedom without following God's law. We don't only need just a couple of those Ten Commandments like thou shalt not steal and commit murder. That's all we need, and we can just build this great society. Nonsense! You are a fool, my friend. Because freedom and prosperity can only be achieved by obedience unto Almighty God and to putting His laws into our public policy. That's how it's done. All the way back up to verse 1. If thou shalt hearken diligently, that means the people must be educated in it, unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, that means to put into practice, and to do, that means to follow all his commandments. Not just part of them, not just a couple that you like, but all of them. But all of them. And I have to say that because there are many good Christians being lured away into this libertarian mentality. Again, the Bible gives us more liberty than a libertarian could even dream of. And I know not all libertarians are the same. And this is not a plug for the Republican Party. This is a plug for Almighty God's commandments. Because the Republican Party is just about all but gone at this point as well. But hey, just because the Republican Party is just about dissolved, just about committed suicide, doesn't mean we join on to another political philosophy. It means we fall back onto the Word of God. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. This is the equation that worked before. Christianity plus the rule of law equals freedom. There is no other equation that adds up. All other equations lead to bondage, lead to misery. And, you know, we've got this, well, what about freedom of religion, Pastor Ben? You know what? The freedom of religion was, in my opinion, was mainly meant for freedom of Christian denomination. Because if it didn't mean that, then that was the down. Then, if our founders really did not intend it to be only for Christian denominations, then they fell short, just like Joshua fell short in ridding the promised land of idolatry. Probably for the same reasons. Oh, we have to be compassionate. We have to be tolerant. Yes, we do have to be tolerant of other Christians. And we don't want one church telling us how we are to worship God. We don't want that. But we want God's law to govern this nation. because it and it alone will protect and safeguard our freedom. Some of these things are so simple, yet it's so frustrating that there are many intelligent, intellectual type people that overthink themselves. They really do. Anyways, I suppose that's why God says, hey, he's going to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You know, think of all the battles. Verse 7, think of all the battles that America has won. All the way back to the Revolutionary War, when a ragtag army defeated the most powerful army on the face of this earth to gain independence. It was because of God's blessings. It was because they leaned upon God. And they didn't just say, oh, God, help us. The people, all the way back to different Thanksgiving proclamations and proclamations in Congress, wanted to put their trust in God. They called for days of fasting, prayer, repentance. And they called for the people to be obedient unto the word of God. And they were blessed because of it. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That land, this land, America, is what he's talking about. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to give some other prophetic verses concerning this great land of America, this land that was carved out of the wilderness to become the greatest nation ever. And that's not a knock on other nations, other Christian nations in Europe and so forth. Hey, they all at one time had their glory, had their greatness, but they fell as well. They fell onto the covenant curses. And America's headed down that same path. That same path. But I feel this land is destined. As we'll talk about a little bit in this chapter, I don't know if we'll get to it today. We'll get to it a little bit today. But as well as many other verses in the Bible. Anyways, verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and to walk in all his ways. And what is he? He's talking about the Israelites. That they were to be a holy or separate people. That's what it means. A moral people. A righteous people. Not a people that lords it over everybody and says, I'm holy and clean and you all are sinners. No, but a people that sets themselves apart from the world to be an example unto it. Not to join it. Not to be equal unto it. And that's why, you know, this principle in itself, to be a holy people, means to be a separate people, demands that God's people put in place immigration policies that would reflect and maintain, or that would maintain and preserve the ethnic balance of America, as well as, of course, the religious balance of it, to keep it as one nation under God. And that offends many people. But nevertheless, it's true. God created different peoples for different purposes and destinies, and he wants people to respect that, to honor that. But yeah, we have today, you know, some of the only people in the world today that say, "Oh, you're a racist." If you want to maintain a majority of white Christians in America, that's terrible. You must be a part of the Ku Klux Klan. That's ridiculous. What other nation around the world, even including those who claim to be Jews over in Israel today, does not have laws put in place to maintain their ethnic and national identity? Every single nation around the world does. Yet, for some reason, Christian Israelites are not allowed to do that. I wonder why. I wonder who the war is against. To be a holy people. And we've got, if you haven't done our study on Deuteronomy 7, go check that out. goes more into detail on the holy people. Verse 10. I don't know if I finished reading this, but verse 9, I'll read this over again. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways. That little word there has a lot of power. It's only two letters. But that's the condition. If. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. They shall revere you. They'll be afraid of you because they won't want to mess with you, because they'll know that God is with you and that you're unstoppable. And this used to be the case in America. Most of the nations of the world did stand in awe of America because we were blessed. We were strengthened. We were one nation under God. We weren't a conglomerate of all different types of peoples under many different gods. No, we were one nation, one people in the majority under God. That's what made us powerful. Diversity doesn't make us powerful. Yes, diversity of gifts and things like that, but not diversity of beliefs. That makes us weak. That breaks us apart. That divides us. All people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. You're a Christian. You're a Christian nation. You're one nation under God. And verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord swear unto thy fathers to give thee. You know what? As far as agriculture is concerned, it's not even up for debate at which nation produces the most crops in the entire world. America is the most blessed farmland in the entire world. So can you see now that this is specifically referring to America? This great land? And if you want to go to 2 Samuel 7:10 on your own time, you'll read about this. America was prophesied to be the appointed place for the Israelites. God says, I have a place appointed. They were already in the land of Canaan at that time. Yet God in 2 Samuel 7:10 already envisioned or already had set aside a different land for the Israelites to be in during these last days. You know, it hasn't even been that long since America has been occupied by the Israelites. 500 years or so? It's not a very long time. And you'll see that prophecy mentioned also in Revelation 12, verse 14, where there would be this wilderness land that would be protected by the two wings of the great eagle, which is our national standard. The national standard of America is that eagle, which represents the protection of Almighty God that we're even going to talk about here in the next coming chapters in Deuteronomy 32. You don't want to miss any of these chapters at the end of this book, because it tells us exactly what's happening now and exactly what's going to happen in the future, day by day, day by day. But anyways, there was that land, the great wilderness land that God had appointed for the Israelites long ago, written about all the way back in the Old Testament here in Deuteronomy 28, as well as 2 Samuel 7:10, and up into the New Testament over 2,000 years ago, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, or I should say about 2,000 years ago. Verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. This is important. This is one of those very simple economic principles that I was talking about in order to be a prosperous nation. God says you can lend to other nations, but you are never to borrow. Why? Because the borrower, as we read from the book of Proverbs, is a servant to the lender. And how can God's people remain free, remain powerful, remain above all other nations if we owe other nations money? Think about that. We're going to read a little bit here. In other words, and we could take that on the individual level, do whatever you can to live within your means and to not borrow money, especially borrowing money on credit cards where you pay interest. Anyways, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. You're going to be the leader. You're going to be the leader of the free world. The leader of the world, I should say. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. You shall not be equal. You shall not be under. You shall be above. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Notice, God, that's the destiny that God wants for his people. Again, not to be equal, not to join the United Nations, not to feel guilty for the prosperity we have in this nation as long as we're using this nation as a light and an example unto the world. But yet we have people today that say, oh, well, even our president said, you know, I can't remember the exact quote. In other words, he was saying, if we put our heat to 72 or keep our homes around 72 degrees year round, and we drive big SUVs, what do you think the rest of the world's going to think about that? Who cares what the rest of the world thinks about that? It doesn't matter. If they want to be blessed, hey, they can reform their nations. They can start obeying God's commandments, and they will be blessed as well. God controls the earth. I don't care if it's a desert land. God can turn a desert into paradise. Some important facts to realize. Just a few decades ago, America was the largest. Now pay attention. Only a few decades ago, America was the largest creditor nation in the world, thus fulfilling this verse. But In the 1980s, for the first time in American history, we began to owe the world more than the world owes to us. What does that do? It starts making us into the tail and not the head. That's bad. Now today we owe tons. Billions, I don't know how much money it is, but you can look all this up, but we owe a great deal of our debt is owed to China, as well as that little hidden nation of Kenites that operate the Federal Reserve. And we're becoming the tail. It's that simple. You know, the liberals in Congress today, as well as a lot of the Republicans, and some of those who claim to be conservatives want to spend. God says, hey, live within your means. Do not borrow money. If you can't afford it, you don't need it. The curses, well, we're going to get into the curses next study, but the curses of the 1960s, really, pretty much, is what turned the tide of our nation receiving blessings to the curses. You know, all those naked hippies running around, smoking their reefer and getting into their naked orgies. That's what's bringing about the curses. That's what started it. Now we're starting to live it. Yeah, just peace and love and free love and sex for all. And let's just get high, man. Very cool, isn't it? Very cool to worship the god of Moloch, isn't it? Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day. Now check this out. To the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Does this mean to be moderate? No. Does it mean just because you're not going to the left or the right, does it mean you're a middle of the roader, you're in the center? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Because middle of the roaders aren't anywhere near God's word. They're lukewarm. They're what Christ said in Revelation chapter 2 or 3, I can't remember exactly what chapter it was, but he said, hey, those who are lukewarm, ick, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You're tasteless. You're useless. What he's talking about here is to use God's word as our standard. It's by God's word that we are to form our public policy. We don't go over to the left into the liberalism. We don't go over to the right into some of the conservative ideologies that think we can just spread democracy around the world without God's law, and they worship democracy. And you're not supposed to lean upon libertarianism. No, God says, because those things lead to other gods. You want to worship, oh, I'm just a hardcore libertarianism. We can all be free. We don't have to have a nation under God. We just have to have a nation based on freedom. So you're telling me you worship the goddess of liberty? That's what you're telling me. Because anytime you go away from God's commandments, you're worshiping other gods, and you will serve them, and they will, and it will not be pretty. There will be no freedom. It will be oppression and bondage and so forth. We are going to stop right there. That was the blessings chapter. Hey, it's that simple. Obedience, the only way to freedom is by obedience unto God's word, unto his law. Oh, the law is done away with. No, it's not. In Matthew chapter 5, Christ went to great emphasis. He used great emphasis to tell us that not one jot or tittle of the law will be changed until all is fulfilled. Until all is fulfilled. When God's kingdom de facto reigns on this earth, and then there's always going to be law, my friends. There's always going to be law. The only thing that Christ fulfilled were the blood rituals and sacrifices. He didn't take away the law. He came and lived exactly according to the law. Not false piety and like the scribes and the Pharisees that many substitute for being righteous according to the law. They didn't follow the law. Let me say that again. The scribes and the Pharisees did not follow the law. They were law violators, though they put off the pretense that they were following the law. That's not what we're for. We are not for the false piety of scribes and Pharisees. We are for the rule of God's law, governing our lives, governing our nation, because it is only by it that we can have maximum freedom, maximum liberty, and maximum happiness. And that's what this chapter teaches us. Don't miss any of this chapter, for it even tells of the rise of Obama in becoming president over our nation, as well as this mass influx of illegal immigration, as well as, yes, even legal immigration since the 1960s, of peoples from third world nations, non-Israelite nations, coming into this nation to change its identity. Well, we hope you enjoyed this study. Do like Christ said in Matthew chapter 4. I think sometimes I say 5. But in Matthew chapter 4, when tempted of the devil, he said, man, and he actually quoted from this book of Deuteronomy. Did you know that this book of Deuteronomy was the first book that Christ quoted from? And this book of Deuteronomy is quoted from by our founding fathers more so than any other source. For the book of Deuteronomy is the foundation of the entire Bible. Anyways, Christ said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of the Lord. So see that you study it. See that you consume it. Meditate upon it. And let it digest into your body, into your soul, so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.